Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And I don't know, I guess it was maybe a couple weeks or so ago. It could have been longer than that. At least right around that, I felt like the Lord began to nudge me. He said, I want you to teach and do a teaching or a kind of a series on the ministry of helps. And then Ray came in here and he taught on the ministry of helps. And so I'm going to do a little bit of that, you know, and do a little teaching on that and just talk a little bit about what helps is, because, you know, a lot of people don't really, I think, grasp what helps is, but the word help is pretty simple. Help. If you're helping, you're in a ministry of helps. I mean, if you're greeting, you're cleaning, you know, you're ushering, you're deaconing, you're on the praise team, you know, you're in the ministry of helps. You understand that? So when we talk about the ministry of helps, you know, it's not this vague thing. It's really a simple definition. It just means, everybody say help. That's pretty, if you say help, how many know what you need? How many of the church needs help? So no matter what you're doing, you know, if you're in the ministry, like I said, if you're on the praise team or you're greeting, you're cleaning, whatever, you know, that nursery, the children's, whatever, that's the ministry of helps. The sound, that's the ministry of helps. And so we need you, amen? But here's what I want to talk about this morning. The title of my message this morning is Every Member Valuable. Say that with me. Every member valuable. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. I'm reading out the New King James this morning for clarity on this passage here. And I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The Bible says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all that body being one, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So just like Jesus Christ, I mean, just like your earthly body, you know, you got a lot of members. How many know that? I mean, you think of the body is pretty fantastic. I don't understand. I mean, I'm simple, you know, but I don't understand how anybody could believe this just happened. I mean, how could all this, amen, if it just happened, it would still just be happening, you know, things would be turning into, you know, something else. But I don't know. I just know this is designed by God, amen. And so this body is pretty marvelous, you know, the fact of all that's inside of it, you know. And it says, for by one Spirit, verse 13, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. So both Jews and Greeks are Gentiles, as we would say, like this today, the nations, all of us, we've all been baptized into one body. So we're all one body. I mean, it's not like Jewish people and then us. No, we're all in one body. Amen? We're all in one body. For in fact, the body's not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, you kind of get an attitude because, you know, you don't like the part of the body you are, but you're valuable. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, you know, your foot doesn't get as much attention as your hand. I've got rings on my hands, not on my toes, my fingers. You know what I'm saying? So, some people may have rings on their toes, but I don't know how you do that. But anyway, that seemed comfortable to me. But anyway, whatever's your taste. But, you know, he says, if the ear, verse 16, should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, it would be weird. What was that one little eye on that one movie, Monsters, Inc.? Okay. How many are learned enough to know what I just said? Okay, all right. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? If your whole body was an ear, wouldn't it look weird? You know, I think one of the weirdest things God ever put on us was ears. You ever just look at ears? It's just like, why? I don't know, but God had a plan, right? I figure he knew what he was doing, right? And now, I mean, there's people that I've seen in the body of Christ. There's things that God's called me to do. I thought, why? Well, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He said, if they were, verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? In other words, if it was just one member, we'd have a problem here. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. How many know your eye needs your hand? You ever get something in your eye? You know, when your body gets hurt, what happens? Doesn't your hand immediately go to it? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and you stumped your toe on the corner of the bed? Where does your hand go? It goes to your toe. I don't know what it's going to do, but it goes there. Say, hey, I'm here, little buddy. I'll help you. It doesn't do much, but it shows up at least, right? I've learned that a long time ago. Sometimes you don't have to do much. Just show up. Amen. And sometimes churches like that. Just show up. Amen. Well, that went over big. Hallelujah. But just show up. You know, it means a lot. And the eye cannot say to the hand, verse 21, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. Much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker or necessary, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow a greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. How many of you know there's parts of your body, parts of your physical body that you don't see it, but it's pretty important. You know, nobody goes around and says, man, you got the best looking liver I ever saw. But have you know, if your liver quits, you're in a lot worse shape than if your hand got cut off or your heart quits. So a lot of times, you know, what's visible sometimes seems like it's the most important, but it may not necessarily be. There may be other things behind the scenes that's keeping the body functioning. Amen. So, you know, and we have to, and I'm not saying that you do, but we have to lose all this, I've got to be seen, or I don't have a ministry. I got to have a title, or I don't have a ministry. I've got to be recognized, or I don't have a ministry. I've got to be patted on the back. Well, I think we should tell people and thank people and encourage people and stuff like that. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying we've got to lose all of that and realize that we just, you know, we are serving people, but we're first serving God. We're part of his body, right? Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And that's like I said, you stump your toe, your hand goes to hell. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ. You and I are the body of Christ. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after this, that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, or governments, and varieties of tongues. Now, have you ever heard someone say, before I have, they said, I don't need church, I don't need people, all I need is Jesus. Anybody ever heard anybody make that dumb statement? Amen. Now, in some areas, maybe all you need is the Lord when it comes to your salvation and things like that and being born again. But God created us one body. Amen. Now, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, Jesus is the head of the body, right? Wouldn't it be funny if this morning we saw a head coming in here and all it had was a foot? It looked kind of weird, wouldn't it? See, why? Well, it's missing some parts. Amen. Now, you know what? Your body can function without some parts, I guess, but it's not the same, is it? You know how they tell you, you know, well, you don't need your wisdom teeth. You ever heard that? You know, the doctor's x-ray, he sees them in, the first thing he wants to do is rip them out. Isn't that right? And then you lose all your sense because there went your wisdom. How you know, I don't know why God put those in there. I have a feeling that this is just conjecture. Is that okay if I conject a little bit? I'm telling you a little bit. See, I have a feeling that they had a purpose at one time, but through the curse, they lost their purpose. I don't know. But anyway, I still got mine. I'm in my 60s. I still got mine. All right? So I don't let them take mine out. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because it hurts. And I'm keeping them, all right? You know what I'm saying? I still got them, you know. You know, I had one, you know, one time, one just, you know, you still got your wisdom teeth in? Yes, I do. And I think they're going to stay there too. And so, but everything, you know, now, you know, listen, you know, parts of our body, you know, just like the body of Christ is a whole big body. It's a whole big group of people, right? Is that right? You know, some churches get this mentality, we're the only church. I've ran into them. They say, if you don't go to our church, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's a sure sign I won't be going to your church. Because there's born-again people all over the world. It's not a matter of particularly what church you belong to. Now, it does matter to God what church you belong to. But in the bigger scale of whether you're part of the church, it's not what church you belong to. It's what church you belong to. Did you get that? It isn't what church you belong to down here. It's are you registered in heaven? Amen. See, that's the difference, see? And so, in the midst of all that, God in His wisdom, God in His plan for your life will set you in a local body. He will plant you someplace. Because that's where He wants you to be. That's the part. See, He put every part in the body as it pleased Him. So He puts you there for a purpose. Amen. And so, but we need to have, you know, our own company. The Bible says when the disciples got in trouble, they went to their own company. Now, I love everybody in the church. Amen. I love everybody that's born again. Don't you? You're supposed to. Have you know that? You know you can love people and not like them? Amen. Sure, there's people that I'm not really fond of their personality, but I still got to walk in love with them. And so, I may not fellowship with some parts of the body as much as I fellowship with other parts of the body, but we're still part of the body. Are you with me now? See, it's been a long time since my foot's had fellowship with my ear. Now, there was a time when I was 6 months old, my foot got in my mouth, it got in my ear. It doesn't go there any longer. It won't go there now. I don't want it there now. So, but it's still part of my body, right? And so we have to understand that this saying that, you know, I don't need anybody but Jesus. There's people that don't come to the local church. They don't go to church. They say, well, I'm still going to heaven. Well, that's not a matter of heaven. It's a matter of God's plan and will for your life and having, and we're going to show you some things about how that affects the blessing on your life. See, you can't have everything God has for you if you don't do everything He told you to do. See, it's conditional. How many know that? I mean, it's paid for. Jesus paid for it. But the point is, if you're going to walk in it, you got to do some things, right? I mean, you can have something and not have it. What do you mean by that? Well, you could have money in the bank, but you got to go through the process to get it out. You can't just go beat the ATM machine and it spit money out. You go to jail for that. You can't get a crowbar and try to pry it open. Well, you could. But you'll end up, we'll visit you. See, you have to go through the process. You know, I don't use ATM cards. I have used them for a long time. I've got a, what do they call the thing, debit card, but I haven't used it in years. I think I remember the pin on it. What is it, Pastor? I'm not telling you. But I think I remember, but I haven't used it for a long time. But I used to use that thing, and you'd go to the machine, you'd put it in, and you'd put your PIN number in, and then you could get cash out. See, there was a way. That cash belonged to me, didn't it? It was already mine, but I have to go through the process to get it out. The blessing's already yours. Jesus Christ paid for it at Calvary. But there is a process, there is a step to go through to get it out. And you have to be obedient to God's word. Amen. Amen. So listen, a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot that God is going to do for you, He's going to do it through other people. Amen. That's why you're important, because you might be the one that God's going to use to bless somebody else. See, if you have this mentality, and a lot of people do, I hope you don't, but a lot of people have this mentality. They wake up every morning thinking about how can I get blessed? See, that's the wrong mentality. You should wake up every morning as, who can I bless? And the reason that you're not blessed a lot of times is because your mentality's wrong. See, a lot of times it's not a big thing you have to... Why don't you have some of you smile? Just, let's see if you can smile. I mean, it's not a big thing sometimes that you got to adjust. Sometimes just a small thing. It's just a small thing in your thing. See, a lot of times people think, well, it must be a major thing, you know. A lot of times it's just a small thing. You know, they used to say this about, or I heard this about, there was a legendary football coach. If you got all of you there in football, you've heard of him. I'll tell you here in a minute. Vince, help me out, Pastor Chuck Lombardi. Yes, was a coach of the Packers, you know. And, you know, the Packers, I mean, they're good now, but they used to really be good. I mean, championship after championship with this guy. They were really good. And they would say of him that when he, you know, when training camp would start, you know, for the new year, the new season in the summertime, he would walk in and he would have a football and he would toss it in the air before all the guys. He'd say, gentlemen, this is a football. Now, what was he trying to get to them? He's trying to get to them that if you forget the basics, you're in trouble. Right? See, a lot of times teams are bad because they don't do the basics right. You know, they don't tackle right. Right? They don't do things right. They don't do the basics. A lot of times Christians' lives are a mess because they're just not doing the basics right. They just think, if I could get rid of these, you know, three demons and you know, his 42 imps that are harassing me. A lot of times it's just the basics that you're not doing right. You're just not doing the basics right. If you do the basics right, what's one of the basics? Come to church is one of the basics. Thank you for that hearty amen. Are you going to say amen this morning, or am I going to have to? I'm going to give myself an offering here in a minute. Now, go over to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you something. See, every member is valuable. Everybody adds something. You may think, well, all I come to the service is sleep. Well, you're not adding much, but thank God you're here, and we're not having to use as much heat. No, you know, I'm going to show you something here, that when people come to church and they come expecting and they come, you know, excited, they add something to it. And that could be, now that could mean deliverance or not deliverance. See, a lot of times people think, well, it's all up to the preacher whether we get anything, but a lot of times that's not even the case at all. It's up to the congregation. Yeah. I've been in congregations, I've been preaching, you know, I mean, I used to preach in a lot of different churches all the time. I didn't pastor. That's what I did. I preached in churches or camp meetings or, you know, my own meetings or whatever. So I had experience with going to church from church to different church. And you go to one church and God would, you know, give you a message to preach, and maybe go to another church and give you the same message, and you get somewhere in one church, and one church you wouldn't get anywhere with it. And it wasn't you, it was the people. They just weren't hungry. Amen. You got to be hungry. Everybody say hungry. Hungry. Now, verse 4, Romans 1, let's go to verse 11. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." I mean, he said, I want to see you. Right? I mean, thank God for a live stream. There's people that are watching a live stream this morning. You know, there are some people, they're the COVID thing. Some of people in our church, they're not here because they work in healthcare. Some people are not here because of different reasons. Some people are here because they just use it for excuse. But anyway, whatever reason, live stream's not the same as being here. It's not going to take the place of it. Now, you may let it take the place in your life, but you're going to miss something called impartations. What are impartations? Paul said, I long to see you. Not you see me. I want to see you, that I may impart unto you. Now, what are impartations? Well, you know, one of the meanings of this word means endowments. You ever heard about a university getting an endowment? You know, maybe somebody left $20 million or $200 million. I was preaching for a pastor in another state one time, and I think the university where he, in his town, one of the universities in his town, some lady left a $200 million endowment. God bless her. I wish she would have come to Oasis Church. It left us a $200 million endowment. What does that mean? Endowment means you can do things you couldn't do before. See, Paul said, I'm going to give you an endowment, a spiritual endowment. You're going to be able to do things you couldn't do before. I'm going to leave you with something you didn't have before. You're going to get some spiritual equipment you didn't have before. There's going to be blessing in your life you didn't have before. When I'm going to impart something to you, but I've got to see you to do it. Why didn't he just pray for them? Why didn't he just say, I'm going to pray for you? It didn't work that way, right? He said, I long to see you. I got something to impart to you. See, I learned this a long time ago. People don't get to the place they need to be because they miss impartations. I've told the story. I tell it because I think you need to hear this. See, people don't get to the place they need to get because they miss impartations, or they struggle in life because they're just not getting impartations that they need. You have to receive what God has for you. And I tell this story, and this is true, you know. I would pray about, and I still do, of course, but I'm talking about, this is years ago. I would pray about the meetings. I pray, what do you want to do in this meeting, Father? And, you know, I get the message, but I'd pray about, what about ministering to people, praying for people or ministering to people? And the Lord, I remember the Lord would say, now, this person here, I want you to do this. I want you to pray for them this or give them this word or something to that effect. And he said, now, you know, let's just say person number one, he'd say, do this. And then he'd say, person number two, do this. And he'd say, person number three, do this. Now, he doesn't always do that. Sometimes we find out when we get there. All right, so we don't always know that. But yet, I always give him opportunity to tell me anything I need to know ahead of time. I like to know things ahead of time if he'll be willing to work with me that way. Not always. And I've had numerous times where the Lord said, I want you to prophesy to number one, prophesy to number two, and prophesy to number three. And he would name the people. And I would get to the service, and number one would be there, number two would be there, and number three wouldn't be there. Well, I just go ahead and do what I had and give number one, number two, and I could tell it was right on, you know. I mean, different things. You know, there's times that you can give words, and they may be for the future, and we don't know. How many understand that? It might come to pass, might be later. But there are sometimes you give words, and it's reading their mail, and then they let you know, why, how did you know that, you know. And all. And so you know, okay, I must have heard from God because it was right on. And then I get to number two, and it's the same thing. I must have heard from God because it's right on. And number three is not there. Now, that would confuse me as a young preacher, and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand that. As a matter of fact, I talked to him about it one day. I don't understand that. Now, you would have known number three is not going to be there. How many know he would have known that? How many believe he's all-knowing? How many know he knew number three wasn't going to be there? Now, I never forget, one day he finally explained this to me. I don't know why he doesn't explain things to you right away. But he didn't. And so he finally one day, I'm talking about this. Lord, I don't understand this. Number one's right, number two's right, number three, you said mention them, and they're not there. Didn't you know they weren't going to be there? I knew you know they weren't going to be there. He said this to me. I will never forget this. He said, what did you ask me for? I said, I asked you for your plan for the service. He said, that's what I gave you. I had something for number three. And number three didn't show up. What did they do? They missed an endowment. They missed something that would have improved their life. Are you with me now? Now look, y'all just breathe a little bit. I didn't say you couldn't ever miss church. I said breathe a little bit. People are gone today. We got a couple families out on vacation. How many know you need a vacation? Right? There's, you know, one gentleman, we're going to pray for his wife here in a little bit. Brother John, he's out. He's with his wife. She hurt her back. So we're going to pray for her. There are a lot of unexcused absences. I remember, you know, now you understand, when I first went to college, I was not born again. I came out. I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 70s. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what we live for. I'm just being honest with you. Not being vulgar, that's just what we live for. I live to do drugs, okay? But I'm going to college, and I remember going to my first day classes, and when I got to college, you know, I went to my classes, and we got one final class. It's college literature, that my final class of the day. It's the first day of school. And so I run into a friend on campus. He's a little older than me, so he's more seasoned about college life and more experienced about this. So he runs into me and he says, hey, let's go get stoned. That doesn't mean have somebody throw rocks at us for, okay. I don't know what term they use today. I don't know. But go get high. It doesn't mean riding an airplane. He said, and I said, well, I can't do that. I've got class. He says, ah, it'll be okay. So I went. And I thought, well, you know, he knows. He's been around for a while. I mean, you know, he's doing well in school. I don't know how he was, but he graduated. Got a career. And so I thought, well, he knows what he's doing. So, you know, he must be okay. I skipped. And I never forget when I showed up the next day at that class, that's first one of the first things the teacher said to me. He says, you get two unexcused absences a semester, and then you get no credit. You fail. I thought, I already got one. It's first day. I mean, that's just stupid. That was. Remember that show years ago, Welcome Back, Cotter? What was that kid's name on there that his mom was always writing him notes? Epstein? Epstein's mother, you know, would always write him notes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of church people like that. Now, they're only hurting themselves. Well, they actually are hurting the body of Christ, too. But they're hurting themselves also. Now, so Paul said, I want to impart something to you. How many want an impartation? Well, you know, you get impartations through different ways. You get them through being in the house of God. I've gotten many that way. You get them, you know, through, you know, through your own fellowship time with the Lord, right? So we see, Paul told us this. This is Paul, the apostle. Everybody say Paul. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The King James says, as the manner of some is. I like the Amplified Bible says, as the habit. See, that's one of the things that really concerns me about this COVID-19 thing. We're now, our churches are, you know, half full. My concern is those people that are staying away are going to get out of the habit and never come back. Not all of them will, and I'm not accusing them, but I have a concern about that. It's like, you can get out of the habit of something. You know, it can be easier just to sit on your couch in your underwear and watch us on TV. But it's not scriptural, and you're not going to get impartations that well. You may get something out of the message, but you're not going to get what God has for you. So I have a real concern about that. Don't let that happen to you. I mean, if you can't be here, thank God you're watching. All right, I'm good with that. But don't let that be a habit, right? And so so Paul said that the habit. In other words, you can get out of the habit. We gotta have good spiritual habits. Amen? Listen, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says this. Proverbs, I think it's 27 verse 8. It says, as a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. And what does that mean? See, a lot of times people don't understand, but God puts you in the body where you're supposed to be. And people just leave local churches without giving it a thought and think, oh, I can do what I want to. Now, God puts you there. You know, and what happens to a bird when it leaves its nest? Well, it could be in trouble. I came home one day, whatever it was, and it was the first house we actually bought when we moved down here. So it had been, I don't know, late 90s or early 2000s, and I came home, and there's this bird, little bird, in our backyard. He's just roaming around. He doesn't know he can fly yet. And so I realized, look, I had a cat. And I happen to know my cat, you know, didn't have an ounce of the fruit of the Spirit in her when it come to things like this. So I happen to know, you know, this bird's either going to heaven or hell today, whatever, if I don't do something. That's a little joke. All right, okay. So I grabbed the bird. You know, I don't know what else to do with it. Well, I don't know where to put it. You know, where's it belong? I don't know where it belongs, but I know one thing. If it stays in my backyard, I know where it's going to end up. Kitty litter. I know where it's going to be. So I grabbed the bird, and I look and see if the neighbor's looking, and I threw it over in his yard because he had a... Wait a minute. I'm not done. There was a good reason. He had a fence. And no cat. So I thought, our cat could jump the fence, but someday she was too lazy to chase after anything, go across the fence. She would lay there and watch the birds eat her. She'd lay in the chair. We had these outside chairs. She'd lay in the chair and watch the birds eat her food. She wouldn't even do anything. She'd watch coons come up, and she'd just lay there and watch them. I mean, basically, a bird had to land on her head for, you know. But I just thought if she ran into this bird and it was convenient, she'd eat it. She was just overfed. She just didn't care. So I knew if I got the bird over the fence, it had a lot greater percentage chance of living, see. Why, it had wandered from its place. See, Christians don't realize this, but I've seen this. Now, I'm not just preaching this to try to keep people. Listen, I learned a long time ago, if you don't want to be here, I don't really want you here. Because you're not going to cause me nothing but trouble and heartache. So I do want you to stay where God's at. But I've seen people leave our church that weren't supposed to leave our church, and their lives got in a mess. And it's not that God did anything to them. They left the place where God had planted them in the body. I mean, if your arm had the ability to say, you know what, you're losing your hair. Well, some people are. Thank God I'm not. Well, I'm not. Not anymore. So, stop. Randy, has yours stopped? Mine stopped. I haven't lost any hair in years. But you know, your arms say, you know what, man, I want a guy, you know, that's got a lot of hair. I'm leaving you. How many know once it disconnects, what happens to it? It dies. See, if you disconnect from the place where God puts you, your life is going to wither. It's not going to flourish. It's going to wither. See, a lot of people think, oh, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know, I mean, hey, they got a pastor. I mean, he's got a full head of hair. He's not 25 pounds overweight. And he dresses in skinny jeans. I'm going there. Well, you might get a better looking pastor. That's possible. You wouldn't have to go very far to do that. But you will begin to wither. Right? See, listen. When you're in a family, how many know in a family, there's going to be good, bad, and ugly. There's going to be things you like, things you don't like. You don't leave the family. I mean, you know, when growing up, there were things that my parents, you know, they put in place. I didn't like it. Now I understand why they did it. As I got older, I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you don't let your 12-year-old take the car out for the night. I'm not sure you let your 16-year-old. I'm not sure you let your 18-year-old. I'm not sure some of them that are 50-year-old should be doing it. But, you know, it's a matter of I'm part of the family, and so you take the good, you take the bad, you take. See, you can choose your friends. You're stuck with your relatives. See, a lot of people want to just pick and choose. Well, I'm going to go over here to church because, you know, they have a better program. They have a canoe ministry, and I like canoes. So you left the Word of God so you could go paddle with some guys on a canoe. You're deep. You're spiritual. I don't know why we don't have you in the pulpit preaching. I just don't understand. We missed that somewhere along the line. Have you understand that there are people that are that dumb in the church? Maybe you haven't ran into them, however you say that, but I have. Well, I can tell you funnier things than that. Like a guy who got a minister, I know he's in heaven now, a guy got in his prayer line one time. He's at this church, he's just preaching. He's just, you know, he's preaching and he starts praying for people. And he's praying for people and he goes to this guy, what do you want? The guy goes, I want another wife. Well, another clues you off that they already have one. Wouldn't you think that? Another, that means you got one, all right? So that's the way this minister, I know, he took it, you know, enough. He goes, what do you mean you want another wife? I mean, you know, you should only have one, and you're supposed to keep her for life. So he goes, well, he said, what? He goes, what do you mean you want another wife? He said, my wife, her hips are getting too big. I love what he said. He said, how many babies has your wife had? He said, six. He said, pass six kids through your hips and see how big they are. Get out of my line, you're a nut. He made him get out. Just get out. I mean, this is going to take working in miracles to help you, and that's not an operation tonight. You need a new brain. Come on, is anybody with me? Amen. All right. All right, let's, I tell you what, let's go to Ephesians chapter. No, I didn't finish reading this. Let's finish reading this up. Verse 12, he says, that I may be encouraged together with you. Notice this, Paul says, by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So see, it's not a one-way street. It's mutual faith. You're going to encourage me, I'm going to encourage you. You know, one of the great, I'm the pastor of this church, and maybe this sounds self-seeking, or self-serving, but I would say this at any church, one of the greatest things you can do for a pastor is just show up. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, is that good? Yes. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to just read a verse here, and then we're going to look at another verse in Ephesians. I'm going to hurry here because I got three more things I want to look at, and we'll do it fast. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me at verse 21. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building, talking about us, the church, calling us a building, in whom the whole building, being fitly joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place. The King James says habitation. That word habitation means a dwelling place or a place where God dwells, a habitation. For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So how many know when we come together, I mean the whole church as a whole is a dwelling place for God. But when we come together as a dwelling place of God. So all the bricks need to be here. How many know that? See, I thought about this. Now, listen now. This isn't complaining session this morning. I'm just preaching. Everybody say he's just preaching. I'm trying to help you. But I remember, you know, I got born again early 80s, 1981, gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I thought about this. Now, what is the difference between Christians then and a lot of Christians today? Not all Christians. You hear why I said that? Not all Christians. There are a lot of Christians still on fire. I hope that's you. I hope that's you. But I remember in the 80s, I got born again in 81 and started serving God, started preaching 4 months after I got born again, began in the ministry. And I remember how much victory everybody walked in. I remember how much power everybody walked in. And I'm thinking, what happened? Where'd it go? Well, this isn't the only thing, but I thought about this. You know, Christians now will say this, I will be a church if this event doesn't get in my way. Christians in the 80s would say, I will be at this event if church doesn't get in my way. I thought, that was a huge difference. I mean, they were there. They got impartations. They got what they needed. They received from God. That's the huge difference. Why we walked in such victory, such power, such faith, such anointing, such glory. Hallelujah. It has changed. Amen. Now that's not, you know, listen, I'm saying that because see, what we need to know is if we're going to have what God has, we have to be around Him. Amen. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, you get anything today? Yes. All right, I want to read one verse here. Now I'm going to 1 Samuel, I'm going to close. But I want you to understand, every member is valuable. It isn't like, a few are. No, all are. All are. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul talking about the body of Christ, the church, he says, from whom the whole body joined. Let me back up. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. From whom? From the head, Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what did he say? He said every joint supplying causes the body to grow. Now you have to, let me just say some things. Are you a joint that's supplying? Now think about this. Think about your relationships with people. Think about your relationships at church. Are you a consumer only, or are you a resource? You got to think about that. See, why don't I have good relationships? Well, first of all, you have to be a resource at times. In other words, you have to be somebody that's giving something out. You know, people come to church, you know. Well, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, what'd you put into it? How much prayer did you put into it? Well, I didn't pray for the service. Well, okay, there you got what you sowed. You reaped what you sowed. Why is it that some people can come and say, that changed my life, and other people can come and say, we need another pastor? Why is that? Now, not that any of you dear people have ever said that, because, you know, I'd sick Kenny on you. You don't understand. See, let me get what I'm saying. See, just relationships in general. You can't just be a consumer, always wanting something. Always wanting something. You have to be somebody that is giving something. Don't you hate the friend that every time you go out to eat, they let you pay? I don't mean hate, but you know what I'm saying. Come on. You know, it's like the, you know, they put they call it the check, which you can't never cash. They put the check there. They at least they're positive about, oh, here's your check. I'm like, man, we're getting paid for this. Praise God. And you've got that friend that when you're not looking, they push it closer to your side. See, that's a consumer friend. In other words, so every time I'm around them, I just feel drained. Well, it's because you're being drained. Because it's always give me, give me, give me. I want, need. But never thinking about maybe you might need something. See, there's always the 80-20 rule. It is a real thing, the 80-20 rule. 20% do the work, 80% enjoy it. But see, the 80% are living poverty lives spiritually. See, it's just like, you know, if you have a church picnic, 20% of the people bring the food, 80% of it eat all of it. Well, the 20's looking going, what happened to my food? See, you got that. It's really something. That is a life principle, 80-20. 20% of the people are doing it, 80% are feeding off of it for nothing. See? Boy, this is good preaching this morning. I don't care. You may not like it, but I'm giving myself an offering. I think that's worth at least a Ben Franklin. Praise God. I mean, understand. We gotta grow up where we're not just consumers, but we're a resource. Where we put something in the pot. Amen. Something good in the pot. Amen. All right, let's close out. All right, let's go to Samuel. 1 Samuel. This is it. You get something today? All right, 1 Samuel. Thanks for giving me a little bit more time here. 1 Samuel, I want to just read this scripture. I feel like we need to look at this, and then we'll close for today. So every member is valuable. Don't underestimate your part. Amen. You know, a lot of people think, well, I don't do any great thing. I don't do any big thing. I don't do any great thing. I tell you what, just showing up sometimes is a big help. Just your anointing. Like Paul said, the mutual faith both of you and me. You know, it just helps. And let me just say, during all this deal, where you know, all like I said, all over the church, maybe not every church, but from what I'm hearing, almost every church. I mean, the crowds are about 50% or less. Don't wait till those people come back to get excited and shout and have church. Amen. See, my thing is, if you can't have church with three people, is it real? The greatest meeting I ever had, Phyllis will tell you, the greatest meeting. Well, maybe not the greatest, but it's up there in the top 10, right? Wouldn't you say? The greatest meeting we ever had was on a Tuesday night in the middle of the week, and I don't know why, but there was only two people there. Well, we had church. Well, yeah, four, but her and I, she had to come because she's married to me, and I had to come because I'm the preacher. So there's four, all right? But there's two besides us. the glory of God fell in the house. I mean, we've been three sitting out there, but they were shouting, and one of them running the aisles and thinking, maybe this is the key. You just let prime people in. But, you know, here's the thing. God, everybody, Paul said the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, let's look at this in Samuel, and we'll close out here. I hope you got something out of this. But anyway, let's go to verse number 21. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. Near the end of the book. Got it? Verse 21. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. In other words, see, David and his men went to a battle, and 200 of his men were so faint, weary, they couldn't go. So verse 21, now David came to the 200 men who were so weary they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to people, he greeted them. Then all those wicked and worthless, the King James says Belial, which means worthless, men, of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. And so it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now, I read that because I wanted to close out by saying this. David was basically saying, we're all one body. Those that were strong and went to the battle, and those that were weak and stayed behind, we're all one. And we're going to treat everybody the same. Now, I learned a long time ago as a pastor, I'm not saying I've been perfect yet, but I have tried. I have tried to treat everybody the same, the strong ones and the weak ones. You see, as in a body, you're going to have strong members, and you're going to, stronger members, I should say, and you're going to have weaker members. Even your physical body, you got some things that are stronger than other things, right? You got maybe, you know, you may have, when I was a young man in high school, one of my friends was on the football team. He was the fullback, and this guy had strong legs, you know. Now, Randy, you'll remember his name, Bubba. We had a terrible football team. I mean, we would be like 1-9. A good year was 2-8. A hallelujah miracle year was 3-7. But when Bubba came along, we were 7-10. 7 wins, 3 losses. So it just flip-flopped because of Bubba. Bubba was a year younger than me. But it was simply this. You couldn't get him on the ground. There'd be 7 guys on the opposite team jump on him. He'd just carry him into the end zone. I mean, he had some tremendous strength in his legs. But let me tell you something. Now, I don't know how big Bubba was. I guess he's probably 6 foot something. I don't know. But he was a big boy. Let me tell you something. He and I would arm wrestled. I took him down. I'm not bragging. I'm just giving you facts, folks. If you want me to tell a lie or the truth, what do you want? I could beat Bubba in arm wrestling. But I guarantee you, Bubba could carry me on his back all day long. Matter of fact, I remember one time, and he did it with his legs. I remember one time he said, we're going to go to this place. And he had a pickup truck. And at the time, he was driving a pickup truck. I said, well, I'm not going. I'm going home. He goes, no, I want you to go with me. I said, well, I'm not going, Bubba. He said, oh, no, I want you to go. And I said, well, I'm not going. Next thing I knew, he squatted down these legs and had me on it and threw me in the bed of the truck. I said, okay, I'll go. I mean, if you're really that serious about it. But see, there was tremendous strength. See, that's the way the body of Christ is. There's some people are strong and some people are weaker. There are some people stronger in some areas and weaker in the other. We don't look down on them. Are you with me now? There's some people that are obeying God. There's some that are not totally obeying God. I don't treat them any different. I'm not going to. I'm still going to help. I have people that show up at this church once or twice a year. And this is their church. I'm their pastor. They love Phyllis and I. When they call me and they say I'm in trouble, I'm there to help them. I don't say, no, you don't show up very often. You don't matter. You're hurting yourself. But I'm like David. I'm going to divide it equally. Come on, are you with me on this? See, there are some people that tithe, some don't. I don't treat them any different. Now, I've had ministers say this. Ministers say, well, if you don't tithe in my church, I don't come pray for you, visit you. Well, I think you're doing it based on money. I don't think it's right. I'm just telling you what I think. Whether you tithe or not, I'm still going to love you, pray for you, and minister to you just like somebody does tithe. You're hurting yourself, but I'm not going to treat you any different. That's what David's saying. Maybe these guys were so weak they couldn't go to the battle, but we're not going to treat them any different. They're part of the body. That's just my philosophy, and that's the way I feel good about it. I wouldn't feel good any other way. I'd feel like this isn't right. Come on, did you get something today? Yeah. Every member is important. Every member. Every member is valuable. You know, some members may do more things than others. You know, that may be. Some of you may feel like I got 14 jobs now. Well, I know, but do it under the Lord. Every member's valuable. Come on, thank God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.